All right, so here we go. We are now here for episode 10 of I Know What I'm Talking About podcast. I got another guest here, guy that, you know, I've been knowing since high school. Appreciate you a lot, Kylan, for coming on.
Yeah, appreciate you for having me.
All right, so we can go ahead and get into it. So real quick, just tell everybody, you know, where you played college ball at first.
Yeah, so I played at a slew of different schools. Coming out of high school, I played at Eastern Illinois, and then played 2 years there. And we didn't have anything like the transfer portal, but I went to junior college in Mississippi as a bounce back and then finished up at Missouri State University.
Missouri State, okay. Mm-hmm. So, what position were you recruited as when you were coming out of high school?
Defensive tackle.
Defensive tackle. So when you got to it was Eastern Illinois, if I'm correct?
Correct.
Yeah. When you got there, did they have you playing anything else like defensive end, or did they still have you, you know, as an interior defensive lineman?
They had me as an interior defensive lineman, so nose guard, defensive tackle. Right. Yeah.
Okay. So when you left Eastern Illinois, did you leave because, you know, you and the coaches weren't really seeing eye to eye, or did you kind of, you know, leave, you know, for some other reasons before you went to a junior college?
Honestly, I just wasn't as focused as I needed. I went really far away from home. I went through a couple of injuries. So a lot of the time I was out there feeling like I was injured just for school, not the reason I was out there for football. So I feel like I got off focus more than anything. And I really needed to take the time to focus on what was important, like my grades, biggest thing. And then, like, obviously getting back to rehabbing it and getting football. And JUCO gave me the time to do that.
Right, right. I got you. So what junior college in Mississippi did you transfer to?
Northeast Mississippi.
Well, you know, I always ask people this, athletes who, you know, took a stop at a junior college, because nowadays there's like this stereotype about how, you know, some athletes straight out of high school don't want to go to a junior college because they want to go straight to a four-year school, or they don't want to transfer from a four-year school to a JUCO, you know, take that 1 or 2 year stop, you know. So for people who are kind of, you know, trying to make that decision right now, the athletes, what would you, you know, tell them about the benefits of going to a junior college for 1 or 2 years?
Yeah, man, I'm always pro JUCO, man. I've seen the most amazing talent in junior college that, you know, simply are just there because of grades or maybe, you know, just didn't have the exposure. And so I say that's the biggest thing, is it really tests the love for the game that you have, because you're not on a big stage. It's not that all the time, you know. It's really testing the love for the game and really your focus for what's important, the school side of things. So I say if you're in between a JUCO, really, really pay attention, or if that's the offers you may have, or if you're deciding, really decide if that's the road you want to go down, and you really want to make sure, because an opportunity is an opportunity, and that's a great one. To be on the stage, to get to even a bigger stage.
Right, right, yeah. That's some good knowledge to give somebody, for real. But what, you know, coming out of high school, what other schools were you really kind of focusing on besides Eastern Illinois? My fault.
Yeah, I mean, I was always waiting for the bigger offers. Coming out of high school, I had offers from Arkansas State. Arkansas was recruiting me, but like I said, I was just waiting on the offer. Lamar in Texas, Missouri State actually was offered me out of high school as well. So just kind of those few schools.
Okay. So how long you know, when you're waiting on those bigger, I'm assuming those bigger Power Five offers, how long did it take for you to really, like, okay, commit, you know, sign the letter of intent and all that, right, you know, your senior year in high school?
Yeah, so, I mean, it took me almost the last, I can't remember exact, but I was, like, one of the last ones to commit just because of that reason. I took all my official visits. Was really, like trying to, you know, like I said, wait, I didn't know the actual recruitment and how it went, like, you know, when to say it's done or when to say I should probably commit. Like Arkansas State, they filled up on all 27 of their offers at the time. I don't know how many, but, you know, 27 of the offers, so I couldn't even commit there. You know, that was not an option. Right. Something like that, and I didn't know, you know, I should be focused on things like that. So for me, I was one of the last, like I said, one of the last to just really be like, okay, this is somewhere, you know, I could see myself playing and starting as a freshman.
Okay, I got you. So when you committed, were there any schools that, because, you know, this does happen, was there any schools that after you committed that tried to come in at the last minute and try and will you in?
I can't really say that. Not really any schools. It was a lot of coaches that kept in contact, which I didn't understand because I was always committed. Already committed. I was like, as you know, but a lot of coaches were just like, you know, let me know if you need anything. But I wouldn't say as a school, like, they was just like pulling me. It's just coaches. And then I finally saw why, you know, after I was able to transfer and get another opportunity. You know, anything can happen.
Right. Okay. So when you left the junior college in Mississippi, or before you left, I should say, so what schools besides Missouri State, you know, were the schools that you were kind of focusing in on before you left the junior college?
Yeah, so I went to a Memphis football camp at the time when I was in junior college, and Texas State was really interested in me. So I was really communicating with their coach and thinking about going to Texas State as well. Memphis, like, I was at their camp, and they were interested in me as well. So really kind of focusing on those two schools. Then again, someone at Arkansas was kind of recruiting and coming back around, but Missouri State was kind of like on the up and coming, or I saw it up and coming. So it's like a great place to be in between Illinois and Arkansas, where my family was at the time. So I just saw opportunity there.
Right. Okay. Completely understand that. Most definitely. So one of the last things I want to get to really quick is, what, as a football player, what is, you know, your best accomplishment as a football player?
That's a good question. I say my best accomplishment as a football player would be going in a way for myself. Like I said, I had to really focus and figure out if it was something I wanted when I went back to junior college. There were two Division I AA schools, but also, really just having that opportunity because, you know, that's like a last chance you. And so I say my biggest football accomplishment was getting out of there and put myself in a bigger stage.
Yeah, that's a pretty solid accomplishment, because some players, when they come out of the junior college, you know, like watching on Last Chance U, some of them are just wait for a Division I school. I mean, they don't even care what D1 school it is. They just waiting for that Division I offer, and it never comes. But yeah, you can say that most definitely that's a big time, you know, accomplishment.
Absolutely. And I've seen it, you know, just like you're saying, I play with guys, and I've seen even, you know, there should be Power Five Division I. I know we're talking about football, but even basketball, you know, I play with guys that are going to school with guys that are in the NBA now, or balling in even the NFL, playing for the Dallas Cowboys right now that I, you know, played on the other end of me. So I've seen it, and then I've also seen guys that are like that, that are just can't get the offers because of the grades or something. So it's really interesting to see, you know, how much talent it is there, and you know, kind of what happens and how people handle it.
Okay, I got you. So when you were being, you know, recruited coming out of high school, and, you know, maybe when you were at Eastern Illinois or at the junior college, or when you were getting recruited before you went to Missouri State, did any coaches at any time try and get you to maybe play defensive end? Did they ever try and, you know, play you at that for a little bit, or try and talk you into it?
Yeah, it was really dependent on the defensive front. I played the defensive end all throughout junior college. So that was my only position actually in junior college, because we ran a three front. So right. That's when I played defensive end.
Okay. And then when you were at Missouri State, you were a nose guard interior lineman, right?
Yeah, I was more of a three technique for sure at Missouri State. They had me stand up at three technique at times and do like court a QB spot. That's when I really kind of slimmed down. That was my most, you know, lowest weight. You know, I played all the way up at 325, all the way down to 270. So, you know, it's a different range and different things you could do with those two weights and different things coaches like to see. So I say I was very, very hybrid. Technique at Missouri State.
So how was that, you know, shedding all that weight off? Like, I know that was a little bit of torture.
Yeah, I mean, so it's like once you get into college, they feed you. They, you know, food is not a worry. You eat all you want to. And right. So, you know, there's like just lifting and gaining up, but you don't realize, like, on my body, I could gain weight easy, gain muscle pretty easy. So it's just me turning into a big ball of muscle and fat, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't realize that as a young guy. But then as an older guy, you know, you start focusing on, okay, maybe my body could do this, my body could do this. So you almost, like, when you get older, you're like, dang, I wish I would have known the things I know, which is, it sounds so cliche, right? But I wish I would have known the things that I know to, like, really just slim up my body, play at my optimal weight, or mm-hmm. what I feel like I could really move around it. That I guess that's the biggest thing for me. Not really just the – once you're in athletics, though, I feel like you do pretty good. You know how to really control your body weight. You know how to really focus on your body. So it's not really – the hard part about the working out and the mentality part, you gain that from athletics, right? But it's just the idea of, like, dang, like, this is really cool. Every time I see my body slimming up or doing something different, it's like I can move quicker, do this, that, huh, I wonder what it would be at this weight, at this weight. So that was what it was for me.
Yeah. I mean, now that I think about it, you know, when you say that, I'm pretty sure this probably wouldn't have happened. You know, 9 times out of 10, it probably wouldn't have happened. But I wonder if it would have, if you would have, you know, maybe hit that 275 maybe before you got to the junior college. I'm thinking maybe they would have tried to put you at, you know, maybe tried you at outside linebacker, but I don't think that would have happened. I could be wrong, but, you know.
You see, that's the substitution. That's what you never know, and that's what coaches' jobs to do is to look at body type and really judge what type of position they are. And at 290 to 300 pounds, you look way different at 275, 265, but you still got that athletic. So it's kind of hard to say. Like you said, you can't really judge it. But I think, you know, at heart, I was a more interior guy, that's what they saw just in the middle, you know. So,
right,
yeah.
So the last thing I want to ask you, so you kind of basically left right before that NIL stuff kind of hit. So, you know, do you think that, because I've seen some Power Five coaches kind of, you know, they don't like how there's really no, right now, there's really no cap on how much money an athlete can make. And they don't like that because they can eventually, you know, make more than what some of the coaches are making. So yeah. Do you think that a cap will eventually be put on top, you know, of how much a player makes?
I think they're going to have to do something if that's going to be the case. If that's going to turn into a problem, it's kind of hard to say. But, I mean, I feel like if that's what they're good at, that's what they're running into. It's just really advancing what they're already going to come into anyways. They're already going to be getting money. That's the biggest thing it is. So putting a cap on it doesn't really – control it in a way, because they're about to go to the NFL in the next few years. It's just more about getting that mental of if they're going to handle that correctly when they do get that money. It's not like they're gonna get the money. Right. You know what I mean? So, and I don't think a cap would really, you know, if they really notice that, it's not really necessary in a way, like, give them all the money that they deserve or all the money that somebody's going to give them, because that's just one drop in the bucket for them.
Right. Yeah, that, you know, and I've heard, you know, a lot of players who play Division One, they're saying that, you know, they, you know, it's about time that this happened, because how much money, you know, the school is making off of, you know, the athletes' backs and stuff like that, you know, and depending on, you know, basically the school you go to, because I know about those, I forgot what they're called, those stipend checks that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I know based on basically what school you go to, it depends on how much money you get by, you know, what school you go to.
Man, that's no joke. And now that you say that, as you bring that up, a big reason why I chose Missouri State is because of the stipend. It was Eastern Illinois. I did not have a stipend. I did not, you know, did not know what that was. I was, like, hearing about it, but it was a fiction. Like, it was just like, wow. And so out of all the schools I got offered, I don't know how it worked out, but I got the biggest stipend at Missouri State.
Damn, that's crazy. That's crazy that you didn't get that, because it's a mid-major Division I school, so that's crazy to know you didn't get that.
Yeah, I got at Eastern Illinois. I did not receive. They paid for everything, and I think, actually, what it was, you know, I was freshman and more sophomore year, and we were required to stay in the dorms, which I don't think they are now. So everything was paid for. Everything was good, you know, you didn't have to, you got the meal plan, the biggest thing for that, but you didn't really get anything in your pocket besides your Pell Grant if you got it. And then at Missouri State, it's just like, it lets you live off campus, you get this money that, you know, every month, and you got to figure out, you know, what you pay for rent, and then the rest of it is just how, whatever you want to do with it. So that was one thing that really, I feel like you said, really makes a decision. I could speak to that on, hey, this college or this college, who's giving the most bread, so.
Right, I most definitely understand that, most definitely. Yeah. So, I was going to ask you, you know, so your experience at Missouri State, Eastern Illinois, so, you know, I'm assuming, you know, you had a much better experience at Missouri State than Eastern Illinois.
Yes.
Okay, I got you. So that's all that we got for today, most definitely. Thank y'all for listening and joining in. I appreciate you, Kylan, once again, for hopping on real quick. I'll most definitely be back next week, new episode. I'll catch y'all.